so glad you're with us this morning and thankful to the Lord that you're here. We've had another glorious week and the Lord has blessed us tremendously. Just by way of report, all Good News Club, we had two children pray to receive Christ on Thursday. We're thankful for that. And I love to hear it. I don't know if you've been there yet, but if you haven't been, it's a wonderful experience. But what they do is at the end of a sermon that Jeff preaches, he asks his young people if they would like to know more about the Lord or if the Lord is doing something in their heart to come to the back. So usually there's me and a couple of other brothers in the back, and there'll be 9 or 10 or 12 or 14 kids coming. You know, I get all kind of prayer requests, as I mentioned last week. This week I got to pray for a turtle. And I was thankful for that, to love on the little child. She was probably 4, 5, 6 years old, real young. And I just got a chance to love on her, pray for her turtle, and had a few others pray for their relatives who are sick and others. But there was one little girl, she came to me and she looked me in the eye and she said, "Brother Johnny," I said, "What you back here for? What you want me to pray for you?" And she said, "Brother Johnny," she said, "I got sin in my life and I need to repent." Oh, I like this one. I put her on the side, took care of the other 8 turtles and children and loved on them and sent them back. And then me and her sat there for about 10 minutes and went through the scriptures. And she said, "Brother Johnny," she said, "you know, I lie." And she went through a few things that she does. She knew what sin was. And, you know, I'm so thankful for godly parents. Obviously, this young lady hadn't learned all this at the Good News Club. We've only been there 6 weeks now. But the Lord had been working in this young child's life to bring her to the place where she was confronted with her sin. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to be part of that. We're so thankful to the Lord for that. Thankful for each and every one of you who participate and pray for that. I want to encourage you to continue to do that. By way of, background, as we're looking at Micah 5, and I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open there. The background on this is that the children of Israel is underneath a siege. And the Assyrian government and their king is basically covering the land. One by one, they have been knocking down the fortresses of Israel. One by one, they have been knocking down those who are in opposition. They had conquered all the lands before Israel, many of them across a whole large section. And they were already coming towards the gates of Jerusalem. When Micah writes this wonderful letter from the Lord as the prophet of God. And as we're thinking about this siege that they're under, as I was reading this and thinking through things, you know, it reminded me of when World War II was happening and England was under siege by Germany. And that great spokesman, Prime Minister of England, Winston Churchill, I remember in one of his speeches, he said, "We will fight them street to street, block to block, door to door. We will not give up." And I think that's what we see here, is that Micah is warning them of the great siege, but he's also giving them a promise to not give up because the Lord is going to be on their side. And this morning, as we come to the text, you may be in a siege on your life. It may not be as clear as Germany coming down on England, or it may not be as clear as Assyria coming down on Israel. But there are things in your life that you're under siege. And this morning, my hope and my prayer for this sermon is that God would encourage you by understanding who Jesus is. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we ask His blessing upon His Word. Father, in the midst of a siege, we must understand who Jesus is. We must understand His promises. We must understand that He is all King. He is all Ruler. He is all Shepherd. He is all Peace, as we sang about earlier. And Father, we just thank You that we, in the midst of trials and tribulation and great troubles, Lord, we can come to You because You're faithful. Lord, We pray this morning as we enter into this time of worshiping You in the Word. Father, we pray for Your blessing. We ask You, Lord, to just fill our hearts with Your glory. Lord, that You would take us from this little church sitting in the pews, Lord, to being escalated into the heavenlies of seeing Jesus for who He is, the glorious King. And Lord, I pray also that You would minister to each and every heart here today, Lord. Father, I pray that You would stir our hearts to be faithful in times of trouble. That You would stir our hearts to be to keep our eyes on You, Lord. And that, Father, You would bless us. Lord, for those that are visiting with us today, I pray that You would meet the need of their hearts, Lord, as they come to visit and they come to hear from You, Lord, that You would speak to them clearly and You would encourage them, Father. Lord, we pray also for all brothers and sisters who are sick. We thank of Brother Reggie this morning as he's suffering. Lord, we ask You to endure our dear brother. We ask You to bless him and encourage him and strengthen his body today, as well as all who are suffering, Lord. And Father, we lift this up to You, thanking You and praising You and loving You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we come in the midst of a siege, we must understand who Jesus is. As we see from our text, Jesus is our ruler. Notice in the text, as He says there about being a ruler, He says that those who this title ruler is known as Messiah in other sections of the Scripture. It's one and the same. Samuel, 2 Samuel 23:3, David writes, "He that rule over men must be just." And when you look at the same Hebrew word, it's the same word being used for Messiah here. So we're seeing that David's idea of a ruler is a just Messiah. Jeremiah 30:21, Jeremiah writes, "Their governor shall proceed from the midst of them," which is very similar to what we see here in verse 2, where it talks about one will go forth. But as we look at the prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, this was known throughout the Scriptures. And the reason why we go to the New Testament, as we see it explicitly taught in Matthew 2, that Jesus, the Messiah, was to be born in Bethlehem. Here we have the Magi coming to King Herod, saying in chapter 2 of Matthew, verse 2, they came to him and they said, "We saw the star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea." And then they quote this verse right here from Micah 5:2 to help us understand and to know that the Messiah was to come from Bethlehem. Now, this is important also for us to understand that when they're talking about the Messiah, and sometimes we lose because we're not Jews, we don't really understand, but the Jews understood that the Messiah was to be godly and that the Messiah was part of God. As we think about the Old Testament and coming to the New Testament, we need to realize that many times is when they're talking about the Messiah, they use the word Lord in the New Testament. They're talking about Jesus is God. And we see this here in Micah 5:2 when it says that this ruler is his goings forth are from long ago and from the days of eternity. You see, from long ago, most scholars are talking about the angel of the Lord. And if you go into the Old Testament, you see a few times where it talks about the angel of the Lord. And it's actually talking about the pre-incarnated Christ. But Jesus was there during that time. Jesus was there during the garden. But if we look at the Scripture and it's full there in Micah 2, it says from all eternity. Jesus was from all eternity. And that's so important for us to realize that Jesus is God. There are many folks during this time of the year who will say that Jesus was a good man, that Jesus was a good prophet, that Jesus was touched by God, but they will not commit to saying that Jesus is God. And if you cannot say that Jesus is Lord, if you cannot say that Jesus is God, then you are not saved. Now, friends, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying Jesus is Lord, period. He's Lord in our lives. If you're a Christian today, He's Lord in your lives. He's Lord in your finances. He's Lord in your ethics. He's Lord in your morality. He's Lord in your family. He's Lord in the church. Jesus is Lord. And Ed Lacy is coming March 1st through 4th. For those of you who have never heard Ed, I want to encourage you to be here. I can promise you this much. If you've heard Ed before, you know that God's hand is on him. And Ed's going to be coming to share with us March 1st through 4th on the Beatitudes, which is basically the law of the new kingdom in Christ. The new lawgiver gives us His law for us to live by. And Jesus, as ruler and king of our lives, has given us precious promises. And that's why when we come to Micah 5:2, we can rejoice that Jesus is God. But you know, there's another joy here too, and another promise. Something that God has just blessed me with as I study this text. Notice what He says there in Micah 5:2. Too little to be among the clans of Judah. From you will go forth me to be ruler in Israel. You know, when you look at this text, it's talking about God takes little things. Now, you got to realize, Bethlehem was little. It was like a little glitch there. And, you know, it'd be like, I don't know, Slab Town over here in Easley. You know, I mean, it's just like a little blink. You blink your eyes and it's gone, you know. By the way, many of y'all probably don't know, we have the mayor of Slab Town in our church today, Randy Wood. And he's famous around there in Slab Town. Everybody knows him. He's mayor of Slab Town. But you know, out of Bethlehem, that small little place, came the mighty Messiah. Now, why is that good? Well, you know why that's good? That shows me that God in His mercy and grace and love can use little things like you and me for His glory. And you know, I just love to hear about the stories of God's grace in people's lives. You know, this past week we had a new coach over at Clemson, Dabo. And Dabo is a neat person. Brother Doug had sent me a little article that he picked up online that someone had sent him. And it was about Dabo's life. And it talks about how Dabo started really, you know, at the far end of life. His dad was alcoholic and mistreated him and his wife, his mama. And then him and his mama wind up having to get out. And, you know, it was just a tough story. And he went through all these things to play football, and God really blessed him. And, you know, he's just been an overachiever all his life. And now he's the coach of one of the, you know, big schools in college, Clemson University. And I look at him and I listen to his story and I say, you know, only God could do something like that. But you know, I even had a South Carolina fan tell me last night, he said, you know what? He said, I watched a report where Dabo accepted the job. He said, you know what's the first thing out of his mouth? He said, I want to thank God first. You know, what glory God is going to gain from Himself by using little Dabo at Clemson. You know, friends, we got folks like that all around us. Folks who, you know, for whatever reason, God just uses them. This past week, we had a wonderful, wonderful experience. We had a shot up on the screen right up here. We had Courtney and Jacob and the kids, all missionaries to Costa Rica, shot in live where we could dialogue with them on screen. And they brought Francisco with them, our pastor, to Costa Rica. Now, the neat thing about it was, for the first time, I actually got to hear Francisco's testimony about how he was raised as an orphan and how he had tremendous trials and being an orphan, going from one family to another family to eventually he was just out on the streets. And how he was dirty and living in a car. And the missionary's wife, when he came to visit the church a couple of times, following a young lady that the church people had ran him out of church because he was stinking and dirty and filthy, and how the wife came along and just loved on him and took care of him. And one day he talks about how he was sleeping in his car And it wasn't even a car that ran, I don't believe, but it was just, you know, he was living in the car, and the pastor's wife came and knocked on the door. And he was embarrassed. He just cracked the door to answer her, and she opened the door and sat inside and said, "Francisco, do you live here?" And he said, "Yes, this is where I live at." She brought him a plate of food, and she said, "I want you to come back with me to the church." And she brought him back to the church and cleaned him up a little bit and gave him a little place to sleep in the church. And eventually he came to Christ. And she said to him, "Francisco, one day you're going to be a pastor." And now he's the pastor of Costa Rica. He went there to serve us and to partner with us to win those people that did not have a gospel witness. Now, in that little bitty church, after 9 months, they have 17 people in there worshiping the Lord. Amen. Friends, I want to tell you, God glories to take the Franciscos of this world and the Davos of this world to show His mighty glory. Let me ask you something. What have you got to give to the Lord today? What things are you holding back from the Lord that He says to you this morning, "Little Johnny, I want you to give it to me so that I can show my glory because I'm the ruler of this universe"? What things does God want you to give to Him this morning that Christ would be glorified in your life? Oh, friends, when we're in the midst of a siege, we must understand who Jesus is. Jesus is all ruler, but He's also all shepherd. Notice in verse 4 there in our text this morning, it says, "He will arise and shepherd His flock." You know, when I think of pictures of a shepherd, in biblical times we think of someone who is careful, who's taking care of the sheep, comes alongside them and feeds them and guides them and leads them into green pastures, leads them into still waters where they can drink, leads them gently in areas where they need to be safe. When I think of a shepherd in biblical times, I think of that person who is strong and courageous. You know, I picture that shepherd with that staff and that rod and how he protects the sheep from those that want to hurt them. You know, from the thieves of this world and from the wild animals that the shepherd has to protect them. You know, in a real sense, when I think of a shepherd, I think of security. I think of being up underneath the wings of a security. The Lord Himself is all shepherd. But this, as we come to the text this morning and we look at God, He says that He's going to raise up a shepherd who's unique. This shepherd, He said, will be in the strength of the Lord. Now think about that for a moment. It's talking about the power of God that this shepherd's going to be raised. Yes, he was born as a baby in a manger, but he was going to be raised to shepherd the children of God. And he was going to do it in the strength of the Lord and the power of the Lord and the might of the Lord. And when you're in the midst of a siege, you want someone who is going to step forward and take care of you. You want someone who's going to step in front of you to take the blows and to protect you. You want the mighty Lord to do this. You know, friends, it's just a reality. But when we think about being in the midst of a siege, we think about that we need someone to come and save us. You know, you may be there this morning. You may be in the midst of a siege this morning, and you need someone to step in. You say, "Brother Johnny, you don't know how bad it is. I'm suffering, Brother Johnny. You don't know how bad it is. My marriage is suffering. You don't know how bad it is. My job is suffering. You don't know how bad it is. My children are suffering." God knows. And God's promised with His mighty hand that He has raised a shepherd to strengthen, to be in the strength of the Lord to protect us. But He also says that this shepherd is royalty in the majesty of the name of the Lord His God. In other words, one of the same. He is a royal shepherd. A beautiful, wonderful royal shepherd, a king who will oversee us. And you know, I love to watch those movies. We were just watching Prince Caspian this weekend with my children. It came out on video, and we watched it twice and to make sure we didn't miss anything. And the kids were having such a good time. But you know what? I get excited when I see them taking on in the midst of a war. And I get excited about it because, you know, my kids said, "Daddy, you're getting too excited about this." I said, "Well, I like wrestling. I like fighting. Amen." I said, "But one thing I like, you know what I really like, is it really has given me that picture of the Lord on our side." And you know, at that last scene, if you saw that movie, when they go out to fight and they're pretty much, you know, outnumbered, look like they have no hope, but the kings lead their people in the battle. And they're brave. And they're fighting. And I'm screaming and hollering. They're kicking people. And they're, you know, it's all over the place. And my kids looked at me and said, "Why are you so excited?" I said, "That's a picture of the Lord. You know, He's fighting for us. He's with us. He's leading us. We cannot lose." Now listen to me. Did you hear that? We cannot lose as Christians because we already won the battle. We're just going through the motions. You know, it's kind of like Florida and Alabama last night. You know, I mean, we knew Florida was going to win. They just had to go through the motions. You know, a lot of times we forget that we've already won the victory. And we're acting like we're a bunch of losers. We're afraid to ask for stuff. We're afraid to do stuff. We're afraid to stick our necks out. Because we're acting like it's still in doubt. Friends, Christ has won the war. He has won it in the battle on the cross. And we don't no longer have to worry. All good shepherd is leading us. And you know, friends, when we think about that, we need to follow Him. Jesus said that my sheep know me, they know my voice, and they follow me. We need to follow Jesus in the battle. We need to follow Jesus into the war, and we need not be fearful, and we need not be scared, for God is with us. Now you say, "Brother Johnny, what are you talking about?" Well, friends, I just want to tell you that the Good Shepherd is leading us, and we must go forward. How should we go forward? Well, we need to go forward into our community. You know, there are many folks, they'll travel the world over to go share Christ, and they won't do it in their own backyard. There are folks that will travel to Ecuador and Costa Rica and Romania and Russia and all kind of places, but they won't share Christ in their own backyard. You know, we got to change this concept of missions that it's more than just going to the world. It's right here. You see, we got a mission field right here. You got a mission field. You're on a mission from God right where you live. You know how you know that? Because you got next door neighbors. Because you got co-workers. You got other students in school. You see, God has raised you up to reach these people for Christ. And how do we do that? By following the King. By what? Walking in the steps of Jesus. We love them. Now, friends, let me tell you, I'm not talking about the love that Hollywood has. I'm not talking about the love that the TV has. I'm talking about the love of Christ. You see, the love of Christ gives without expecting anything. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, there are most folks, they give, but they expect stuff for it. Friends, as Christians, we shouldn't expect anything but going in the love of Christ. And we need to realize that God is our shepherd, and He's guiding us into every area that we need to go to reach those people for Christ. But not only that, as we're thinking about the shepherd, and we're thinking about Him taking care of us, there was a little article I was reading, and it really impacted me. And it sounds so crazy because it came from a young child. But this teacher was talking about how her spirit was low, and she was criticizing all the things she has to do. And she was at Sunday school, and she was teaching little bitty kids around Jet's age. And she was sitting around, and she says to them, after doing the little crafts and all this, she said, "Okay, our lesson today is on the shepherd. What does the shepherd do?" And the little kid looked her in the eye, and he says, "He picks up the sheep when they fall down." Now, let me ask you something this morning. Ain't that good news? Jesus doesn't just leave us out there. He's the good shepherd. He comes and picks us up when we fall down. You know what? When we fail, God is there to pick us up. When we fall down with all mouths, God is there to close all mouth. Friends, when we are hurting, God is there. That good shepherd, that great shepherd that Peter called him, he comes and he loves us and he picks us up. You know, we think back to that beautiful picture and we know the little poem about footsteps in the sand. But in there it says, when they have one print, when the guy asked God, he said, God, why did I only have one print in my toughest times? Jesus said, that was the time that I carried you. Amen. You see, that's what God does for us as all shepherd. He is all great shepherd. Let me ask you something. What areas of your life do you need Jesus to pick you up in? What areas of your life are you just messing up? You know, friends, what areas of your life that you're not doing right? That right now, today, you're having a struggle and you need the Lord to intervene and pick you up. Oh, friends, as the song we sang earlier says, cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. What areas of your life do you need to cast upon Christ today, all great shepherd? Oh, friends, when you're in the midst of a siege, we must understand who Jesus is. He is all ruler. He is all shepherd. And then finally, as we look at the first words of verse 5, He is all peace. This one will be all peace. You know, last week we looked at Isaiah 9:6, and it talked about the Prince of Peace. How Jesus, in His life and in His death, was all Prince of Peace, brought us into a relationship with God the Father through the death of His precious Son, Jesus. And that's why He's the Prince of Peace. But if we go and study the context of verse 5 on, as we're looking at it, there's a different type of peace here. You see, this is not the peace that is purchased with the cross. This is the peace of having our big brother take care of us. You know, I told the story a long time ago, but about my brother Marcus. When I was about 7 years old, Marcus was 6 years older than me. And we're out playing football and had some kids and had a big bully in the neighborhood, kept on pushing me around. Finally, you know, being a knucklehead like I was, he was about 12 and he was about twice my size. He pushed me around one too many. I pushed him back. I said, you better leave me alone, you big meanie. So he turned around with a broom and hit me. Knocked me on the ground. And then he hit me like 3 times. And man, I was doing what every other 8-year-old boy did. I cried. I started crying. You know, the guy was beating me with a broom, this big old meanie. Well, all of a sudden, my brother Marcus, who never liked me, all of a sudden he took the broom from the guy and he started beating him with the broom. Knocked him down on the ground and beat him with the broom. He said, how does that feel to get beat with a broom? And then he beat him again. My brother hardly ever did anything like that ever for me. Well, I jump up, I quit crying, I started cheering. Beat him some more. So he beat him some more. He beat him till that boy was crying like I was crying. Now, big brothers, don't go around doing this, okay? But you know what? That's a picture of the Lord. When we're in the midst of a battle, God steps up to the plate and says, hey, leave my son alone. Leave my boy alone. You mess with me. And God, who is our great ruler, who is our great shepherd, He brings peace by delivering us from our enemies. And friends, you know, there may be a sense where you're thinking right now, well, you know, Brother Johnny, maybe I ought to pray for the Lord to go ahead and take care of my enemies. Matter of fact, Scripture even talks about that. You know, in the Old Testament, how David and others prayed for the enemy to be crushed. Well, friends, sometimes the enemies according to Jesus, is in our own family. Some of the enemies are those who are focusing on self. And what Jesus tells us today is not that we pray for our enemies to be crushed, but that we pray for them that God would change their hearts. Now listen, this is important. You know, when we come to Ephesians 6, we see that our enemies are not people. Maybe you had somebody that's done you something bad. You know, I just have to be honest with you. It was about this time last year, and I was preparing. If y'all remember, I was talking about some issues that were going to be coming up in 2008. And I was just took about 4 or 6 weeks to look at some issues. And one of them was the homosexual agenda. And while I was preparing for that, one night I came by the church. And it was on Saturday night. And I was just, you know, normally don't do that. But I had came by and was just praying. And all of a sudden, my mind unlocked. And I was brought back 39 years ago to where I was molested by an older boy. I hadn't shared this with many folks. But I was so terrified that all I could do was reach up, just barely reach up and grab the phone and call my wife. And I was in tears. I said, "Honey, I don't know what's going on, but I hadn't thought about this in almost 40 years. Kind of blocked it out my mind. And I don't know what's going on, but I'm terrified." And she just prayed me through it. And when I hung up the phone, I went to the Lord. I said, "Lord, I don't even know if this guy is alive anymore, but I ask you, Lord, to forgive him. I ask you, Lord, to save him, if there's a chance that he can be saved." I'm not talking as someone that's talking about theory. You may be a person like that, that all your life you've been quiet about something, something deep that has hurt you. And I pray this morning that if you are and you're in that kind of pain, that God would set you free. That you would turn to the Lord. You know, you may have a father or mother who's mistreated you. You may have other folks who have done you things wrong, maybe even your husband or wife or your kids. You may have a boss that's mistreated you. You know, there are so many things that could have gone bad for you. And this morning, God has spoken to you. Maybe you haven't realized, but you've been under a siege. Maybe it's spiritually. Maybe you're just in a dry spot and you're just not walking with the Lord like you used to walk with Him. Whatever it is, God says to you this morning, He says to me, that if you will come, if you will bring it to Him, if you will cast upon Him all your cares, He will set you free. He cares for you and He loves you. And listen, you say, "Brother Johnny, can God heal me of abuse?" Yes, He can. It was interesting. The first thing that the Lord wrought in my heart when that thing happened was forgiveness for this man. And that's not normal. That's God. That's what God will do for you. And when you set this person free from the pain that you've gone through, God's going to set you free to be able to walk in your life and to love others the way you want to. So this morning, as we have a moment of quietness and we're praying, we're talking to the Lord about what we heard from Him this morning, I just want to encourage you, if you're underneath a siege, remember who Jesus is. Jesus is the ruler. He's the King. He's all shepherd. He's all peace. If you want peace this morning, turn to the Lord. He will give it to you, no matter where you're at. Join me in prayer.